Good morning, everybody. TruckDriver101.com. Big Ken here. Let's talk about observation and the power and the meaning. This is a podcast by Big Ken. And this podcast, we need your help and support. And by doing this, we trade with you knowledge and wisdom. And we only ask that if you are new to truck driving, that you check out our book called How to Start in Trucking. It is at truckdriverbooks.com. You can go there, pick it up for $2.99, and it will help those new to trucking, and it also supports the show. Thank you. So let's get down to business now. This is about observation, and observation always gets challenged in trucking. So we're going to talk about lease purchase owner operators are not bad people. Not all lease purchase contracts or programs are bad, but they all share a lot of risk, okay? And most of the people who do them are not successful. That's a fact. But most people who own a op or most people who open a business are also not as successful. So let's keep it in realistic perspective. However, a person who leases a contract, signs a lease purchase contract, pretty much has a contract that is catered to their customer. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's use our imaginations. Now, I'm Big Ken, and I don't like milk. I don't buy milk. I use almond milk. So, because of that situation, I would prefer if every store in America served almond milk, had almond milk only. Almond milk. So if I created the rules for a company, say Kroger, and I said you can only have almond milk, Kroger would bomb. They'd fail and they'd lose millions of dollars because their bread and butter is milk, right? Well, why is that? Well, because I'm a customer, and if I can make the contract decide what you're selling, well, then I'm going to sell only the things at the store that I want. But if you're a company, your goal is to sell things that everybody wants so you can make all that money. If you're in trucking and you sign a lease purchase contract, you have let your customer, which is what you are at that point when you go from being an employee, you are now your trucking company. They used to work for them. They used to be your employer. Now they're your customer. They're your customer. Let me repeat that. They're your customer. And your customer is writing down the rules and regulations that they want you to follow in your business. That's what you're doing. That sounds kind of fucky, isn't it? So they're, first of all, they're calculating their risk to your failure. That's in the payments that you're going to pay. They're calculating what they're paying on the truck. They're calculating their profit margins, their discounts, and profit to discounts. So in other words, they're giving you, they're using all these lease trucks in a discount negotiation, and then they might be getting, say, 40% off on something, and they give you 10% of that. Then might even turn around and charge you somehow to get some of that money back or in a different way. So bottom line is there's a lot of fuckery in these contracts. Now, saying all that does not mean that I'm saying you shouldn't do lease purchase. It is risk, and all businesses risk, and most businesses do not succeed. That is just a fact. Right? Doesn't mean I would never do it. But often guys want to ask the question, which has inspired this podcast, which is, how do you know something if you haven't experienced it? Well, how you know is through observation, observing people's behavior, observing the reality in front of you. The reality, as we already know, is the customer is writing the contract, right? They're the ones that you are serving. They're your customer, and they're paying for your service, but they're deciding what goes in the contract. They're deciding your business plan, basically, because it's really not a contract. It's your business plan. Your lease purchase program contract is not a contract. It's a business plan, and you're going to follow it. You're going to follow it. That's pretty much it. So a lot of times I get guys, even though I've been doing this for 12 years still to this day, and from when I started in trucking, the reason when I started, I never got involved with it because they literally try to get you in when you just got your license. So that made me not trust them right there. Then after reading the pamphlets and everything else, they were guaranteeing 3,000 miles a week. Once I did a year in trucking, I knew 3,000 miles a week was like getting 100 hours of overtime. It happens, of course, right? But you're going, one, if you get 3,000 miles a week, you're going to feel like a person who got 100 hours overtime. You're going to feel bad. At the same time, it is rare for that to happen. Very, very, very fucking rare. For most people. Now, if you had a company that runs you really hard, believe me, you're going to want to get away from them quickly or your body's going to break down on you. But most drivers do anywhere from, say, 2,800, which is mostly the average, to, say, 1,500. The way I calculate it is I try to make sure I gross at least $1,000 at 1,500 miles a week, which puts me at a low. That way, if I have a high and I get to 2,000, I make really good money. See what I'm saying? That's how I do it. Now, do it the way you want to, your world. But back to what I was saying, when you observe these things, when you understand that the customer's writing the contract, you understand that there's a crap load of gotchas, you understand that in some cases you got to run a ton of miles, right? Just to break even before, because think about it. You may have a $1,000 truck note, $1,500 truck note. I've seen guys say, when it add up all the gotchas and everything, they pay $1,500 a week. $1,500 a week. That means basically you've got to do quite a bit of miles, whether you're getting paid percentage or by the mile, to pay for your gotchas. Then after that point, then you get paid. Then that's where the profit comes from. So think about it. Like if you got $1,000 a week truck note, a $1,500 a week truck note, you've got to do at least 1,500 miles before you get paid. And we just said that 3,000 miles is rare, right? So that means that 1,500 miles, if you're getting paid by the mile, has got to pay for the truck. Then everything after that is yours, right? And we still haven't even paid fuel yet. See what I'm saying? So just observing those types of things made me realize that lease purchase was probably not for me. Then I started learning about Snyder and a lot of other companies. I was like, okay, there's risk there. There's huge risk there, right? Snyder, I have heard drivers saying they're paying over $1,000 a week. However, they have choice. They have more control over their life. That is the only reason I would ever become an owner operator or at least purchase operator to have more control of my life. That's it. That's the only reason I would ever do it. Because that's the only thing you're really guaranteed, to have more control over your life. That's the only thing you're guaranteed. Everything else, the money, all that shit that people love to whip out at the truck stop. You'll get guys who want to whip out their paycheck stubs and tell you what they've made and all that bullshit. That's never a guarantee you're going to do that. All right. It's just not. That guy may have better social skills, maybe better with dispatchers, maybe better at running. There's a million variables that it takes to gross a really good amount of money. Plus, a lot of these guys, when you meet a lot of lease guys, they don't have the insurance. You got to understand, most lease guys, let's be honest, why lease purchase is so attractive, because you don't have to put money down. Okay, you don't have to put money down and you get a $100,000 truck. That's very attractive to most people. Even if you got the money, it's attractive, right? But the problem that most of them don't admit when they go into their rant about how do you know if you haven't experienced it is that not having that money down meant that often you don't even have that money at all, right? You don't have it in savings. You don't have anything. Most guys start out with nothing in lease purchase. And there's nothing wrong with starting out that way, but that's a lot of fucking risk, right? That's a lot of risk that person has took. Now, let's compare just as an observation again. We're going to continue to observe. We're going to observe now owner-operator, lease purchase operator. A lease purchase operator is going to start their business often few weeks or months out of their last part of training, okay? Versus a owner operator who's going to have to work at least 2 years often to get finance for a truck, improve their credit, cut down their bills. They're going to have to mature, is what I'm saying. And whether that takes 2 years or 3 years, whether it's a woman or a man, the bottom line is their business is often more stable. One, they have $1,500 a month that they have to pay versus $1,000, $700, whatever, a week. A week versus a month. There's a lot, that's a massive amount of less stress, right? Then because they've taken their time, I find that most owner operators have benefits. Not often full coverage, but usually they have at least emergency care and medical, some emergency care and basic medical benefits. They often have that. People who just got their truck, you know, immediately, I've met at least guys who don't know that their truck, how to move their tandems. They don't know how to move their fifth wheel. I've met guys who didn't know, at least purchase operators at Prime, by the way, this company that's supposed to be educating these guys. This is, you know, they literally, I've met guys who didn't even know they had to pay their own taxes on lease operators. I've never met owner operators who didn't know that. And I think that comes from the maturing of the business. The fact that they had to be more. And plus they had more time to learn more. Most people in lease purchase operations, they just jump into the game. I've seen lease purchase operators who can't back a truck up, like at all, like just struggling, or get the yard dog to back it up for them. You know, and I've seen a lot of disasters with lease operators, and it doesn't mean that leasing is the problem. It's just the reality. When you say you're going to let anybody, no money down, take a goddamn truck, you're going to end up with a lot of fucked up shit happening. You're going to end up with a lot of failure, okay? And that failure, you're going to observe. And that's going to decide, that's how people make a decision about something, through observation, right? Without actually experiencing it, like they love to throw in your face. So don't let anybody do that to you. Don't let anybody confuse what you see, right, because they're going to tell you all the amazing part, and like they're in a secret club and they're doing so well. But if they're really, really analyzing it, even if they're doing well in their lease purchase operation, there's a massive amount of fucking risk, just ridiculous levels of risk, to a level where, you know, literally if you got sick, that note will continue to build and you will get a bill from your lease purchase situation. Even if you got a walk away lease and they have to come get the truck, that fee for coming to get the truck is going to be charged back to you. Who needs a $1,500, $5,000 fee charged back to you by your lease company and you got a broken foot or a broken leg? Who needs that? You know, so that's just a little thing that, you know, kind of irritates me when people say, how can you know that you can't make money in lease operating if you haven't experienced it? Well, I can see, motherfucker. I can observe. I can see that the overwhelming majority of people are not successful, right? And I can also see that they are still taking a massive amount of risk. It's not like these contracts aren't just shown to everybody, right? They're shown to everybody. Does that mean that I would never do this? No, at this time, I don't see a reason to. The money, truthfully, is going to be close to what you can make being a regular company driver, right? Because even you have to add in, to me, it's like a lot of them will quote a lot of prices, but a lot of money. But you always got to remember, they pay their own taxes. So you got to take the tax out. Then after you take the tax out, you also have to take out insurance, right? So you got to calculate in. A lot of guys will say, well, I'll make more money. Calculate in what you pay for insurance and what you would pay as an individual buying insurance. That's reality, because you bust a tooth on the road and you have to go to a dentist and you don't have insurance. It's going to cost you a pretty penny. It's already going to cost you some money because your insurance is going to cover everything, but it's going to cost you a real pretty penny when you got none, right? You get really sick and you have no insurance, you're talking about sky high prices, right? This is the risk that you take. You got to calculate that into that. Now, you can buy insurance. You can do those things. You can put the right money down. Like I said, for regular owner operators who do that, who save the 20%, who take time to make their business mature in their mind and in their business plan, and they're making their own business plan. So it's going to pay their car note, their child support, their, you know, divorce, whatever. And plus it's going to be profitable because they've taken the 2 to 3 years to plan it out. That person is going to have a way better chance of success and to do it well, to not take all that risk because they sat and thought about it. And again, you're going to observe this, right? Don't listen to me. You're going to see it. If you get into trucking or you're in trucking, you're going to see it every single day, right? And again, calculate it yourself. Calculate what your insurance is. literally just calculate what your insurance is and add it into, take it out of what they promise that you're going to make lease purchase, right? And then remember to add 30% because you're buying it by yourself, and go online and find insurance, full coverage insurance, or at least emergency insurance. What emergency insurance, when I say that, what I'm talking about is insurance that pays for a tragic shit that happens to you. A lot of times it has a high deductible of $5,000 or more. You'll find it. It's under a lot of different names out there. But that is the insurance most responsible owner operators do. They get that kind because it pays for what you really need. You can pay for a busted tooth. Okay. You can pay for those things. It's just, again, having a busted tooth and having a $1,500 a month truck note versus a $1,000 a week truck note or $700 a week truck note, is that money? Yeah, that's what's going. That's what you're going to use to pay for those extra expenses or those health, those unforeseen healthcare expenses, right? So that means you literally would have thousands of dollars a year to put towards that. So if you don't have, say, tooth insurance, but dental insurance, if you don't have eye care insurance, but you've been saving $1,000 a week, $700 a week, just in case, right? You come out pretty good, right? Right. And then you have your emergency medical stuff to take care of the big expenses, right? There you go. Because a lot of times this is, I can't think of the name of it right now. I'm so sorry. I'm recording this late and I just want to kind of get this done. But you'll see it, and it usually pays up to like $1 million or $5 million, right? That's a good position to be in. But again, usually when I hear about this type of insurance and that type of coverage and that type of methodical thinking, it comes from the mature person who took a year, 2 years, 3 years to create their business, and it was not a no money down business. People who take the time to think often do better than those who react immediately. And that, by the way, for all those lease owner operators who disagree with me, comes from observation. You do not need to experience it first and then fix the holes, right? Fix the holes before you start, and that way they never sink your ship. All right, guys, truckdriver101.com. Hopefully that answers the question, because that is how you observe and that is how you learn and avoid mistakes that you didn't have to experience. While others believe you should just take the big plunge and they don't plan to pay for a goddamn thing when you hit the bottom. Truckdriver101.com.